The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 13, verse 44 to 52. It is page 211 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread throughout the whole region, but the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have been looking at the content of the sermon that Apostle Paul gave at the Jewish synagogue at Pisidian Antioch for the past 15 weeks. Paul's party that left Antioch of Syria went through Cyprus Island, stopped by Perga, Pamphylia, went over the rough peaks of Mount Taurus, and arrived at Pisidian Antioch and preached the words of the good news at the synagogue there. All of this was the result of the mysterious providence of God. If just one part of Paul's journey had gone differently, the good news of the life and deliverance would not have reached the people of Pisidian Antioch through Paul. After Paul finished preaching, people asked Paul to preach about the gospel of Jesus Christ on the next Sabbath. And even after the meeting at the synagogue was dismissed, Jewish people who heard Paul's sermon and devout converts to Judaism did not go away but followed after Apostle Paul. Paul talked with them and urged them to always continue in the grace of God. That Paul, who contracted the endemic disease at Perga and had to go to Pisidian Antioch, was the work of God, which in itself was grace. And that God used Apostle Paul as an instrument of such grace was also grace for Paul, Apostle Paul himself, who had at one time trampled on the church of God. And the reason that Paul could say to the people of Pisidian Antioch that they should always continue in the grace of God was because he knew better than anyone that he had become a Christian by the grace of God. If today one were to visit Yalbats, which is located at the southern end of the Sultan Mountains in Turkey, there are the remains of the Pisidian Antioch about 1 kilometer north from that place. When Alexander the Great died at an early age of 33, his empire was divided among the four generals who were under him. At that time, Seleucus Nicatore I established Seleucus Empire, named after himself. Emperor Seleucus, in order to memorialize his father, Antiochus, established cities called Antioch, no less than 16 cities named Antioch within his empire, and the Antioch of Syria, and also the Pisidian Antioch were among them. And probably, as we know already, the port from which Paul's party sailed off to their first mission field, Cyprus Island, was named Seleucia, or in Greek, Seleukeia, named after the emperor himself who constructed the port. Now, 300 years later, the entire territory of Seleucus dynasty fell to the hands of the Roman Empire. The Roman emperor made Antioch of Syria the capital of Syrian region and greatly expanded the city so that 2,000 years ago, its population reached 50,000. And it was the third largest city in Roman Empire after Rome and Alexandria. The Roman emperor also greatly expanded the port at Seleucia and made it a free port under the direct authority of the Roman emperor. And the Roman emperor made Pisidian Antioch as the capital of the Pisidian Antioch region, expanded the city, and made it a sister city of Rome. The common feature about these cities were that in all three cities, all three cities were the cities of the Roman emperor, the city of emperor, in which the temples dedicated to the Roman emperor completely dominated men. And Paul started out from the city of the emperor, Antioch of Syria, got on the ship at the port of the emperor, Seleucia, and arrived at another city of the emperor, Pisidian Antioch. 45 AD, when Paul visited Pisidian Antioch, it was a major city with a population of 100,000. And at a leveled side of the Rocky Mountain to the right side of the city, there stood a huge temple dedicated to the Roman emperor. Apostle Paul, who testified about the gospel of Jesus Christ, who did not see decay in the city of the emperor, urged people there to continue in the grace of God. Surrounded by things that will surely disappear one day, but for now, which appeared as the glory in the glory as the city of the emperor, he knew that it was impossible to pursue after the way of the eternal truth that couldn't be seen with the eyes without being closed in God's grace. After that time, Pisidian Antioch continued to be a major city during the time of the Crusades. It was the first place to which the Crusaders gathered for battle, but due to the earthquake that happened in the 13th century, it was reduced to rubble and disappeared behind the scenes of history. Today, everything only remains as ruins in Pisidian Antioch. And when you visit Pisidian Antioch today, the discovered site of the Jewish synagogue where Paul preached the gospel of Jesus Christ who did not see decay is marked off with a black net. The Roman emperor, who was worshipped by men as God in his temple, died and decayed away without a trace. And even the city of the emperor that he built, over which he ruled, only exists as ruins. When you walk along these ruins, the voice of Paul who urged people there to continue in the grace of God with all of his heart seems to ring in one's ears, and one can feel the words being etched onto one's heart. One confirms that the life of a person who resists and avoids the grace of God only ends up in ruins, like the ruins of that place. Let's take a look at the verse 44 of today's text. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. Paul, at the request of the people there, preached on the words of God at the synagogue on the next Sabbath at their request. On that day, a greater number of people gathered together. The people who had heard Paul's sermon the past Sabbath and were inspired by him talked about it and talked about the grace of the sermon. And so from such talks, almost everyone who had come to the synagogue had come together. Verse 45. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. That numerous people who did not know God had come to the synagogue to listen to God's words. What a joyful thing that was. And wouldn't it be only natural that Paul, who provided the motivation for them to come, should have been respected? But there were those who were jealous of him. And the reason that they were jealous of him was very absurd. The text testifies that when they saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. It wasn't that they became jealous because Paul did something wrong or made a mistake. If Paul had done so, rather than becoming jealous, they would have scolded Paul. The reason that they became jealous of Paul was just one. That a lot of people, the number of which could not be compared with the people who had come the past Sabbath, had come to listen to Paul's sermon on the next Sabbath. The other way of saying this is that if the same number of people who had shown up on the past Sabbath had come in order to listen to Paul's sermon, then they would not have become jealous of Paul. The problem was that a lot of people, which couldn't be even compared with the crowd that came the past Sabbath, had come. Now, who were these people who became jealous of Paul? The text reveals that they were Jews. So then did all of the Jews at Pisidian Antioch became jealous of him? No, that's not the case. The people who came to Jewish synagogue were all Jews except for people who had converted to Judaism. Therefore, most of the people who had heard Paul's sermon the Sabbath before and asked Paul to preach again on the next Sabbath were mostly Jews who had heard his sermon. Not only that. Verse 43. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas. Among the people who followed after Paul, even when the meeting was dismissed, an absolute majority of them were also Jews. Now, these Jewish people passed on the grace of God's words that they heard from Paul to other people. And because of the news that they spread with their mouths, countless people came together at the synagogue the next Sabbath. Therefore, these Jewish people who had spread the news would have only rejoiced that a lot of people were congregating at the synagogue because of the news, and they were not the people to become jealous of Paul. If so, then exactly who were the Jewish people who were said to have become jealous of Paul in today's text? These Jewish people were, without a doubt, the Jewish leaders who had been giving sermons at the Jewish synagogue and their followers. When they gave sermons at the synagogue, never once did so many people come. But one day, Paul suddenly appears and gives just one sermon, and a week later, in order to hear his sermon, a crowd beyond their imagination showed up at the synagogue. And seeing this, these Jewish people fell into a fit of jealousy that was like burning fire. They saw that because of this one person, Paul, they came to think that their pride was became damaged. And this leaves us with a truly important lesson. That lesson is that for anyone, the person who becomes an object of jealousy is the person who belongs to the field in which one also belongs to. Rival, the English word, which means a competitor, is a word that is derived from the word river. It means that those who drink from the same river become each other's rivals. People who live at a different town and drink from a different river have no reason to become competitors. People who live in the same town, people who live by the same riverside, people who work in the same area are bound to become competitors. And competitiveness, when it becomes warped, appears as jealousy. Therefore, student is never jealous of a teacher, and a teacher is not jealous of a student. A teacher always is jealous of another teacher. A student is jealous of another student. A politician is jealous of another politician. A businessman is jealous of another businessman. A bureaucrat is jealous of another bureaucrat. And an artist is jealous of another artist. A friend is jealous of another friend. And a brother is jealous of another brother. And a pastor is jealous of another pastor. And a believer is jealous of another believer. We are no exceptions. Unless we are really awake before God, we too are bound to commit the foolishness of becoming jealous of another person. The reason that jealousy is scary is because men's jealousy does not stop just with jealousy itself. Let's take a look at verse 45 of today's text. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. The Jewish leaders, the group of Jewish leaders were jealous of Paul, talked against what Paul was saying. In the Greek original, the verb talked against is recorded in the progressive incomplete tense. This means that they not only talked against Paul once, but while Paul was giving a sermon, each time he said something, that they repeatedly talked against him. To talk against someone is to deny what the other is saying. Paul was not talking his own thoughts. He was only trying to deliver God's words. that the Jewish leaders talked against what Paul was saying, therefore, meant that they talked against God's words. And that wasn't enough for them. So they criticized Paul. And that was not the end, but they went even further. Verse 50 of today's text. But the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. They incited women of high standing and leading leaders of the Pisidian Antioch to persecute Paul and Barnabas. The Greek verb diogemos means that they threatened physical harm. And finally, they ended up driving Paul and Barnabas away from Pisidian Antioch. That they drove them away means that they rejected the very existence of Paul and Barnabas. And this for only one reason, that more people had come to listen to Paul than when they were preaching. But this is not the first time that we run into this kind of phenomenon in the Bible. In the first book of Old Testament, in Genesis, there is a story of Jacob. Among the 12 sons that he had, 11 sons that he had, he loved his 11th son the most. He only dressed Joseph in multicolored coat and loved him more than others. The 10 older brothers were jealous of Joseph, and such jealousy led them to talk of killing him and ultimately led them to sell him off as a slave to Egypt. The Joseph brothers' burning jealousy manifested itself at the end as an action to get rid of the very existence of Joseph. And we run into the same scene in the beginning of the New Testament. The Jewish leaders in Jerusalem incites people of Jerusalem and drags Jesus to Pontius Pilate and demands that he put Jesus to execution. Book of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 18, reveals that Pontius Pilate knew that the reason Jewish leaders wanted to kill Jesus was that they were jealous of him. The following is a testimony from John chapter 7, verse 1. After this, Jesus went around in Galilee, purposely staying away from Judea because the Jews there were waiting to take his life. Exactly what had gone on before so that the Jewish leaders were trying to kill Jesus from that time on? What had happened was that Jesus performed a miracle in which he gave a sign of feeding, counting men alone, 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jewish people who were amazed with the miracle wanted to make Jesus as their king on the spot, but Jesus firmly rejected them. Jesus had not come to earth to become a king of this earth who could only fill the stomach of men. Now the Jewish leaders, who had already been jealous that Jewish people were flocking to Jesus like a group of clouds, now seeing further that after Jesus performed the miracle of the 5 breads and 2 fish, Jewish people wanted to make him their king, tried to kill Jesus from there on. It was only too clear to them that if they left him alone, Judaism, which was the foundation of the entitlements that they were enjoying, would crumble away. And so they ended up bringing charge of treason against a Roman emperor on Jesus and killed him on the cross. Their jealousy of Jesus manifested itself as their rejection of the very existence of Jesus. The brothers of Joseph, who became jealous of their brother and who sold him off as a slave to Egypt. The Jewish leaders, who became jealous of Jesus and ended up killing him on the cross as a state criminal. The group of Jewish leaders who became jealous of Paul, who with a body weakened by an endemic disease, crossed over the Taurus Mountains to deliver the words of life to the people of Pisidian Antioch, and drove Paul and Barnabas away from there by inciting the women of high position and leading men. All of these are never just a story about other people. By the riverside of life where we live, there are never just us alone. Along this riverside, there are so many people who live together with us. Therefore, at that riverside, we too could certainly become jealous of someone and commit the unrighteous crime of denying their very existence. How could we avoid the foolishness of not being trapped in our jealousy like the brothers of Joseph or the leaders of the Jewish faith in Pisidian Antioch? There is only one way. It is to understand the absolute meaning, the absoluteness of my existence within the relationship with God. To God, we do not have relative existence. Each one of us has been made specially by God. It is only those who realize that he or she is a unique being made by God, is an absolute being before God. Only that person will not compare himself or herself with other people and therefore can remain free of jealousy of any person. Now, 2,000 years ago, when Paul was living, wouldn't there have been people who are smarter and better than Apostle Paul? But Paul, after being called by God, until the time that he left this earth, was not jealous of anyone, because Paul realized that he was an absolute being before God who was made by God. Therefore, until he left this earth, Paul was able to walk the road he was to walk without wavering, despite unceasing jealousy, conspiracy, and persecution by others. The speaker for the last Thursday's lecture was Professor Park Dong-gyu, who is the eldest son of the poet Park Mo-wol and is a devoted Christian after the faith of his parents. His talk, which shed light on the life and the poetry of his father, Park Mo-wol, was very moving. And brought tears to the eyes of everyone who had attended the lecture. He said that the discovery of truth has the power to change the self, and that a poet was someone who discovers the new value of life and cultivates the ways of change that are brought about by such discovery. And he recited his poem on the spot. I am a wildflower. It is okay that no one knows me. If I am lonely, I will play with the wind. When I am forlorn, I will play with the stars. And even so, I will brightly scatter the simple fragrance of mine in the field of this world for free. What a wildflower that knows that it is specially made by God, that it is an absolute being of God, which has been made with all of God's care, become jealous of lilies. Wouldn't he know that as lilies are precious to God, itself is also precious? Wouldn't he know that because its simple fragrance given to it by God is precious, the stronger fragrance of lilies can also be precious? Therefore, even if no one recognizes it, although it's just merely a wildflower, wouldn't it, before God who made it, wouldn't it, for God, brightly scatter the fragrance that God gave it in the field of this world? Professor Park Dong-kyu also said that life is not living with the instincts of animals, but feeling the depth of our hearts with the feelers of our sensibilities and cultivating the consciousness and emotional state for love of others. Beloved brothers and sisters, we all have been given new life within Jesus Christ. In that respect, we have discovered the new value of life within Jesus Christ. And so let us all become the poets of the Spirit, who, having discovered this value of new life, attempt the changes that befit such discovery. Let us, with the words and through prayers, with the feelers of our faith, feel our way and stand up as the absolute beings of God before such love. Although we may be insignificant and are like the wild flowers that are unknown to this world, let us, before God who made us, live again, and for God, live as the poets of truth who brightly scatter the fragrance that God has given us in the field of this world. At that time, God will, through our lives, cultivate the riverside of our lives as the gardens filled with fragrant flowers of truth, because that is the very reason that he has chosen us as his absolute beings. Let us pray. Dear God, for all this time, I have been the brother of Joseph, who sold him off as a slave to Egypt in my jealousy of him. I have been the chief priest who nailed Jesus to the cross and killed him out of my jealousy of Jesus. All this time, I have been the Jewish leaders who chased away Paul, who delivered the words of life to Pisidian Antioch, having crossed the Mount Taurus with a body weakened by an endemic disease, by inciting the women of high standing and leading men. And therefore there was only a form of truth, but no fragrance of truth. And along the riverside of the life I am living, there have been so many who have suffered because of my prevailing jealousy. Thank you for making me realize this at this hour. And I repent this foolishness before you and ask for your forgiveness in your mercy. From now on, help me to know the love of God who brought me back to life with feelers of faith within the words and prayers. Help me to realize the value of the new life that you have given to me and become the poet of the Spirit who attempts at change that is befitting of such life. Help me to stand up as the absolute being who need not be compared with anyone before God's love. No matter how lowly I may look, and even if no one recognizes my value, help me to scatter the fragrance of truth all over the fields of this world, of this barren fields of this world, only before God and only for God. And may the riverside of our lives, because of us who live in such a way, be cultivated into fields of flowers of truth that becomes ever more fragrant as the days go by. In Jesus' name I prayed. Amen.